Your relationship with your body is the longest relationship you will ever be in. You must have unconditional permission to eat in order to make peace with food. What is your self-talk like about your body? If you wouldn't say that to a loved one about their body, what makes it okay to say it to yourself? This is a safe virtual space where we are going to dig into deep heart-to-heart combos that all come back to our relationships with food and body. Welcome back to another episode of the Fine Food Freedom Podcast. This is your host, Sam Previtt, and I'm so excited that you're here. I'm extra excited that you are here because today is one of our client testimonial podcasts, and these are some of my favorite to record because I get to meet the incredible clients that make up our Fine Food Freedom client base. And today we have Arielle on the podcast. She hails from New Jersey, and I just happened to be wearing one of my new crew necks from when I went to the Jersey Shore this summer. And so it was just a match made in heaven. It was meant to be. And I'm kicking myself because as soon as I stopped the recording, of course, Arielle and I continued to talk, and she shared just more of her beautiful story with me. But one of the quotes that she left me with before we hopped off was, "I am the heaviest I've ever been, and I'm the happiest I have ever been." And I was like, oh, drop the mic, like, incredible. But of course, I stopped recording. But she is just a light. These episodes make me so happy because I can talk about intuitive eating all day long. I can tell you how it changed my life. I can tell you how it changes people's lives, But I don't think there's anything that comes close to hearing it from the source directly, like hearing it from our clients. We have a testimonials page where we list all of these testimonials. We have hundreds and hundreds of videos on there where our clients share their stories. But I just feel so grateful that I get to interview them, ask them questions, kind of dig into their stories and hear more. So if you are someone that you're like, whoa, I had no idea, one, that you support clients, or two, that I could use my health insurance to get this care, please know that you can. You can click the link in the show notes below. You can find us on Instagram, on TikTok. Get your insurance benefits checked because our team is licensed in over 24 states. We accept Cigna, Aetna, United, BCBS, Anthem, and more. For example, Arielle, who we talked to today, she has unlimited sessions with our team. That means she can meet with a dietitian as many times as she wants, forevermore, which is incredible. And it's, you'll see today when we read her new client paperwork from day one to today, how much progress she has had. So without further ado, we're going to get into today's episode with Arielle. All right, Arielle. So I want to start with like a really basic broad question, but how did you hear of Fine Food Freedom, and what made you say, you know what, I want to reach out and I want to get professional support?
Yeah. So actually, ironically enough, I heard of Fine Food Freedom when I was searching on whether I could lose weight via intuitive eating, but it was like the intuitive eating that is co-opted by diet culture, not actual intuitive eating. Cause I was coming on, you know, a couple years on like a body transformation, quote unquote, journey, you know, trying intentional weight loss. And I was getting really tired of it. Like, I think I was kind of going through the five stages of grief is how I like to refer to it or think about it. And I was just honestly like looking for a way out while trying to mitigate my fear of gaining weight. And of course, at that point, I didn't know what intuitive eating actually was. So this was actually before I reached out. This was probably like a year or so before I reached out, but I think it planted the initial seed that I then came back to when, you know, I actually started therapy about a year ago. So, you know, in working through like some of my issues in therapy, you know, body image came up. And that was something that I didn't really want to approach before because I didn't think that it was, you know, disordered, like what I was doing was disordered, in terms of, you know, the food that I eat, as well as like the way I was exercising. But eventually, you know, I think in doing the work with my therapist and remembering what I had initially seen, and seeing like your reels and podcasts and just starting to consume some of that content, I kind of like knew in my heart that I had gone through the stages of grief. And I was like, okay, like it's time to really face this head on. Cause I didn't feel happy with what I was doing.
Mm. Thank you so much for sharing that. And I think that's such a beautiful testament to, like, you were kind of feeling those tugs and like called to do the work, but it's like you weren't ready yet. And like, that's okay. Because I think that's something people see this message sometimes and want to jump right in. It's like, it's okay to, like you said, consume the content, sit with it, like kind of come to terms with it. And then once you have that awareness and it's like, okay, now I'm ready to do this work. Yeah. Do you remember, like, I love that you brought up like this fear, right? This fear of gaining weight, which I think holds so many people back. Mm-hmm. And just to allude to what you were talking about before, when you're like the co-opting of intuitive eating language. So for those listening, what we are referring to is like, if you see anyone online that says intuitive eating and weight loss, like that's bullshit. Those do not go hand in hand. Yes, you can unintentionally lose weight throughout an intuitive eating journey, right? Our bodies can ebb and flow, but it's not the purpose of intuitive eating. So do you remember, like, I don't know if it was like one big aha moment that stuck out for you, or maybe it was the slow progression, but how, if you had to describe to someone, like, how did you kind of move away from that fear of gaining weight, or what was that journey like for you? Like, anything you can share related to that, I would be so interested to hear your perspective.
Yeah, of course. So I think, this is something that I've talked about with Leah, and I've heard yourself and countless other, intuitive eating people in the intuitive eating space allude to this, is that like when you start doing this work, it just bleeds into other things. And mm-hmm. So for me, actually, I kind of had the opposite, where I started doing work on myself in therapy. And then I realized that, this was, something that I had to tackle, because it was, something that was really weighing on me. I knew I couldn't keep living with this fear and living the way that I was living, trying to manipulate my body in the way that I was doing. And I think honestly, like what really helped me get past it was just doing the work and realizing that this was a way for me to exert control when I felt like I didn't really have any, and a way for me to seek validation that was missing in other aspects of my life, where I was just missing other things that like actually made my heart happy, and trying to find that in finding a smaller body. I'm very much like a type A high achiever. I'm also trained in, the healthcare field. So I obviously had a pretty, weight centric focused education. And so I think a lot of that messaging was just, it was really scary, but I knew in doing the work that I needed to start like letting go of that. And by kind of seeing like, by kind of looking into like introspectively and realizing what the intent was behind what I was doing, I think that was like, it was kind of just like a waterfall. Like it just kind of all happened at once. And then since I've been doing this work, it has bled into other areas of my life, where, I am looking at food differently. I am looking at movement differently. And I say movement because I've had a toxic relationship with exercise, let's say. So I think that was the biggest thing, honestly. It wasn't like one big thing, but it was like that introspection that really helped me move forward.
Yeah, that's incredible. And I feel like as you walk an intuitive eating journey, that introspective awareness just builds and builds, and you're able to trust your body again in so many different ways, whether it's the cues or the, the thoughts, being able to separate, like, is that a fact or is that just a negative thought that's coming up, and where is that coming from, and all of those things. Mm-hmm. So I would love to hear from you. I know you had mentioned Leah's name before, and Leah's one of the dietitians on the Fine Food Freedom team. So what, especially being in the healthcare field, or, you mentioned that, what do you do for work? I'm sorry, I should have asked that before.
Okay. So I am a pharmacist by training. So I got my doctorate in pharmacy from Rutgers, and I don't technically practice as a pharmacist. I do actually work in pharma. That's why I'm home. I work from home. And so I do regulatory affairs, a lot of like interfacing with health authorities and whatnot. So it's not super like clinical focus what I do. But a lot of what I was doing in school and on my like rotations and whatnot, totally. Was, so that messaging was really reinforced.
Absolutely. And that's something I talk about often on here is like as a dietitian being trained in, you know, weight centric healthcare and health being the sole marker of weight being that sole marker of health and things like that. So I'd love to hear from you coming from that background and just our traditional like weight centric healthcare. What did you expect the work to look like with the Fine Food Freedom team? And then what was it? Like, did it match what your expectations were? What was your expectation and what was the reality of working with the Fine Food Freedom team?
Yeah, so it's interesting because I think once I came to finally say like, okay, I want to start embarking on this work, like the illusions of what I had been taught had kind of started to fall down. So I felt like I had a pretty good idea of what it would look like. Of course, I learned more as I went, but mm-hmm. I mean, I knew essentially that it was going to be deconstructing an entire belief system that I based my worth on. And I didn't expect how much that would be, how uncomfortable that would make me feel. But I think like in doing the work, like I was really forced to confront like what I had learned and the truths that I held, and you know, really like have that cognitive dissonance of being like, I believed this for so long, but there is a different like line of research and there's a different way to look mm-hmm. at things. And I think, you know, once I opened my mind up to that, it almost felt like, I don't know, super liberating because it was mm-hmm. like, oh, okay, well, you know, I'm opening myself up to like a whole different school of thought. And it just, it felt like very freeing, honestly.
That's incredible. You just saying, yeah, I was just deconstructing an entire belief system that I, you know, held my worth in. Like it's no big deal. That's incredible. And I think it's so beautiful to hear your story. And, you know, we do these kind of testimonial podcast episodes with all different types of clients. And so it's so cool to hear your story, how you had more knowledge and kind of more expectations coming in, because it's a lot to do. And some people have no idea. They're like, oh no, I just want to lose weight. And then they come in and they're like, wait, what are we doing? And then we like to very slowly hold their hand and kind of, you know, introduce them to things. So that is awesome. Awesome to hear. And like you said, it can be scary, but it can also be so freeing and so liberating. And like we've said multiple times already, like it bleeds into so many other aspects of your life. So I'd love to hear from you. Like when you say that and it has this ripple effect, like what comes up for you? How else has food freedom and making peace with food and your body like changed your life?
Yeah. I mean, I just feel like I got my life back, like in all sense of that phrase. Like I think I feel more present now. I was just talking to Leah last week about how, you know, I had a family vacation down the shore a couple of weeks ago, and this is a trip that we take every year. And like in years past, I would package my food and meal prep and make sure that I wouldn't go off track. And the fear of like going off track and gaining weight was such a huge thing that I wasn't really like present there. And so like, you know, I think being present is a big thing. And I've also just like gotten so much brain space back that like I don't have to spend thinking about macros or working out, like, you know, PRs in the gym, or like I had worked with a fitness coach before where I basically had to track all of these metrics. Like I had to track my macros every day and then progress pictures like once a week, body measurements, level of fatigue. Like it's, yeah. So I,
that's making me fatigue just thinking about it.
Yeah. And so like, I remember that, like I used to have like such dread, like filling that out. Cause I would like, I had something like concrete to like, tell me if I had failed or not that week. And so I think just like removing the brain space also has allowed me to like, just be more self-compassionate and like, that has been, I think, like the biggest thing that has allowed me to open up my life. And with also the free time and brain space that I've gotten back, like I feel like my mental load is reduced. Like I just see things clearer now. And I've gotten into like new hobbies too. Like before I even started this journey, I used to walk my dog because that's what I do. And, you know, I still do that. But now it's like, okay, I'm enjoying it because it's not an add-on to the regimented fitness exercise that I had to do 5 days a week. Like I'm just doing it. Mm-hmm. And I got into like pottery and I'm exploring like pickleball or like other like yoga, like things that like, you know, I do actually crave movement now, but I also don't put myself down if I don't. So it just like feels like all of these things have changed for the better for me.
That is so incredible to hear. And I love that you brought up the hobbies thing too, because that's something with so many of our clients as they make peace with food, get more mental bandwidth. Like they're not spending hours tracking their calories and their macros and like all of these obsessive things with food and body. They're like, how do I fill this time? Like, what do I like to do? I don't even know. And it's like finding fun new things is so cool. I also love that you brought up the vacation, because I think vacations, holidays, special events, those are such great opportunities to showcase how far you've come versus like you said, in the past, it was like stressful and I have to be in a bathing suit and I have to pack my food. And now it's like, I get to go on vacation.
Yeah.
End of story. Like I get to relax. I get to have fun. I get to all these things. So thank you for sharing that. And I think it is such a testament to, like you said, it's not just the food. Like it has this ripple effect.
Yeah.
So something I said to you before we started recording is that we have your paperwork here. So just so you know, when you originally filled out your paperwork, it was December 18th of 2024.
Okay.
You had 15 plus sessions, all covered by insurance, working with our team, which is incredible. I'm not going to like read your initial paperwork for the world to hear, but what I would love, if I have your okay, is I would love to just read a little bit when we ask, like, how would you describe your relationship with food? This is what you wrote back in December of 2024, and then just have you like live reflect. Does mm-hmm. that feel true now?
Yeah, sure.
Okay. Okay. So on here we say, how would you describe your relationship with food? We have unpleasant, neutral, or pleasant, and you had to check one, and then we just say, why did we check that? So you had checked unpleasant, and you wrote, I tend to moralize food and feel guilt when eating calorically dense food. I have listened to some of the Fine Food Freedom podcast. Hey, now you're on it. And I definitely have a ton of mental restriction going on. So how do you feel hearing that? Like, does that feel true today? What are your reflections?
Yeah. So, I mean, I would be lying if I said that I didn't completely, if I was completely cured of
totally
having thoughts like this.
Thank you for saying that.
Because those intrusive thoughts do still come out. But I think, you know, the thing is that they are so much less and they're so less frequent. And honestly, if I had to pick some way to describe my relationship with food, I would just say neutral, because I think like food is fuel. Now that there aren't like mental restrictions that I'm placing on food and moralizing it, it is literally just something that fuels me. I can still enjoy it and it can be pleasant, but it's not the main event. Like my life is the main event now, which is
cool. I love that. You're the main character now, right?
Yeah.
Not mm-hmm. the dieting and the food and the calories. And yeah. I thank you so much for bringing up that it's like, it's not about like, oh, I don't have these thoughts anymore, whether it's about food or body. It's more so when they pop up. Now it's like, oh, I have the awareness and being like, where is this coming from? Or like, why is this happening? Instead of shaming ourselves and guilting ourselves and all of that. Yeah. So I'm so glad you brought that up. And I love to thank you for saying it's like, it's neutral. And neutral can be the goal, because I think sometimes with social media, people think it's like we go from hate or unpleasant to love and perfect. And it's like, that isn't it. But can we get our life back and can we get our brain space back? And yeah. So I love that.
Yeah.
Now, if it's okay with you, can we do the body one too? So same question. It's just, how would you describe your relationship with your body? And we checked unpleasant. And for why, we wrote, I would say that my overall feeling towards my body is one of shame and disgust. While I am thin and have been for my whole life, I suffer with insecurities, especially with how my lower belly looks and feels. My desire has always been to be smaller.
Yeah. Yeah, it's really, it's tough to listen to, because again, I think I was coming from like a place of just like just not having any compassion for myself. And it made a lot of sense with my background, again, coming from, you know, like having an education that's weight centric, right? And having a lot of that messaging drilled into my head. And because at that point I had worked so long to have the quote unquote perfect body that I just like moralized it, and that became the goal. Like that was all that I wanted. And so now, again, like I would say my relationship with my body is neutral. I mean, again, I would be lying if I said it wasn't unpleasant at times. And I think, you know, I do still have those thoughts that pop up, but like they are just so much less frequent and less intense. And I'm able to really get to the bottom of why I'm feeling a certain way when those thoughts do crop up. And I'm more like easily able to identify my triggers or maybe something going on in my life that me trying to make myself feel comfortable in my body is a way of me trying to get a need met that maybe I'm not meeting elsewhere. So I think just having that introspection has also helped me on that journey.
Thank you so much for sharing that and for your vulnerability, because I know talking about body image, it is a very vulnerable thing. And I think so many people can relate to what you're saying. And I always say, and I'll say it with you, is like, I'm an intuitive eating counselor, dietitian, trainer, and I still have negative body image thoughts. Like that is called being human. But like you said, it's building that toolbox of self-compassion. How would we speak to a friend? Like, where is this thought coming from? What is causing it? And that is such an incredible, incredible toolbox to have. So thinking about the, you know, year plus that you've been really on this journey with our team, were there any aha moments or things that stuck out to you that you're like, I remember in this session, whether it was something that was said, whether it was something you reflected on? Like, is there anything when I ask that that sticks out to you that you're like, this was a pivotal moment in my journey?
Yeah, I actually think it probably came when I wasn't in session, when I was just like reflecting on things. And I think like the biggest shift that happened to me was when I really did start believing that my worth was not tied to my body. Because before that, you know, I had heard it, like I had followed all these creators trying to, you know, get information on the intuitive eating space and body acceptance. And I was like, oh, that's so nice. Like, I wish I could have that. And I feel like it was almost kind of like a faking it to myself. Like I was trying to like get into that mindset. And like, I don't know, like it just something like one day it just like kind of clicked. And I think what actually probably triggered that is an exercise that I did do with Leah, but it didn't happen during the session. It was again, like after where she did this gifts exercise with me. So she had me write down a list of things that make my heart happy and things that make my heart sad. And then based on those, she was able to say, okay, like these are what I think your gifts are. Do these like call to you? Like, do you agree? And like, how would you describe them? And the homework that I had from that session was to look and see how I can give some of those gifts to myself. And so one of them, I've talked about it a couple of times, was, you know, compassion or self-compassion. So that was one of the gifts that she identified. And then I was like, wow, like when I really took a step back, I was like, I don't really have a lot of self-compassion.
I can give it to everybody else, but not to myself, right?
Yeah. And I just think like, I just like reflected on like, not even just like food and body, but just like my whole life where I was just like so hard on myself. And like, I was always trying to like chase like the next achievement. And I think that was like part of like why my brain works the way it does, is because I was always trying to like best myself at the next thing. And I was like, at what point does it end? Like, at one point do I just say like, it's okay to just exist and in this body because I deserve to exist in this body and I deserve to enjoy my life? And I think like that was the defining moment or period of time that really like shifted things for me.
That is so beautiful. And thank you for sharing that exercise with us and that reflection that you have or had. And it's just such a, like you used the word freeing earlier. Like, it's so freeing to be like, and it's funny when we say it out loud, it's like, I'm allowed to exist. And it's like, how is that radical nowadays, right? Like the fact that that is considered radical, I hope people look back 50 years from now and be like, they thought that was radical. But to just be able to exist, like that is, that's really, really profound.
Yeah, just like taking up space. Like I never, and it was kind of like tied into like my therapy work as well. Like it was, you know, it was like, I just really reflected on all the areas of my life that I just felt like I had to like make myself super small and like not like, you know, be a force to be reckoned with, like speak up for myself or just like, I don't know, share things that were like on my mind. And so I'm trying to do less of that and more of being present.
I love it. I love it. So if a friend or a loved one or a colleague came to you and said, Arielle, should I work with the Find Food Freedom team? What would you say to them and why?
I would say 100%. I mean, I would say, obviously, like, you know, you need to be ready to do so, because I think, you know, you can't force someone into doing something that they're not ready to do. But I do genuinely hope that like the work that I have done and that I will continue to do will help me even shed a light on people who are going through similar circumstances and, you know, be that guiding light to them to, you know, motivate them to go on this journey. And I think I'm so grateful for this team, for Leah, for, you know, just being a sounding board for all those months and helping me to like really see my worth again as a human.
I love that. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for listening to this episode of the Find Food Freedom Podcast. Every single time you listen to an episode, it truly makes our dreams come true, helping people make peace with food, body, and movement. If you have not already, please make sure to head over to social media and give us a follow at find.food.freedom on Instagram or Find Food Freedom on TikTok. And if you resonated with today's episode and want more professional support, please head over to findfoodfreedomresources.com. This is where you can get your benefits checked to see if your health insurance will fully cover that one-on-one nutrition counseling with our team. And we also have so many other virtual resources there. So again, that's findfoodfreedomresources.com for all things Find Food Freedom and to get those health insurance benefits checked. If you have not already, I invite you to rate, review, subscribe, like, share this podcast with anybody that you think needs to hear it. The more that you share this podcast, the more that this message of intuitive eating and food freedom will be out in the world, which we so desperately need. Again, thank you for being here. I cannot wait to chat with you again soon on the next episode of the Find Food Freedom Podcast.